the Oakdale Christian Centre podcast. Over the last couple of months, in Dave's Sunday messages, he's been looking into what the Lord is looking for. In this study, Dave summarises his thoughts. The main reading is Ephesians chapter 2.
Amen. As we just come to close of our what the Lord is looking for us in our lives, and just summing up, I suppose, again, we'll be looking at what He wants to do in us, with us, through us, and how He gives us all that we need. We'll just look at that even tonight. But our participation is absolutely necessary, isn't it? Because seed is fine, soil is the problem, and soil is our heart and our lives and everything there. So we need to, again, be looking, monitoring us, examining our hearts, looking at Him, keeping our eyes on Him. But through that, Holy Spirit always is always working. He's always pointing things out, isn't He, in our lives. And just wanted to drop that in, believing in Him, then we belong to Him, then we begin to behave like Him, and we are becoming like Him. Bless the Lord. How to keep the bees, building for Him, being built by Him, of course, burning for Him, bless burning up, and busy for Him. But thinking about this, and isn't it amazing that God would do a work in us, and God would change us? And just remember that this is, let's read this verse, it's amazing this, 2 Corinthians 1.
But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in Him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set a seal of His ownership on us, and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come.
The last couple of verses there, He's put His stamp on us, His seal on us. Oh, bless the Lord. And He's put a deposit. Holy Spirit has come in us, and as we've mentioned before, a deposit means a deposit. But in the sort of common Greek at the time, it was the word for the engagement ring. He put an engagement ring on us, because we're just about to get married, aren't we, to Him. But it just tells me that God is invested in us. Amazing. God is invested in us. Now you can say, well, I don't know why He did that. And look at our lives and looking at what we were. But God is invested in us. And if we forget anything else tonight, remember that. God has put His engagement ring on you. Because He's called you. He's chosen you. He's deposited Himself in you. And when we understand who we are, it changes what we do, how we behave. When we belong, we change and behave. But that's the first thing. God is invested in us, and this is what He longs to do in our lives, wants to change us. There's another verse just to underline that, Galatians 4.
When the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out Abba Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir.
Again, just amazing. Absolutely amazing. God, because we received Him by faith, He said, I'm not just going to say, yeah, you're saved, but I'm going to come into you, Holy Spirit, as we looked at the last few weeks, in us. He said, if you guard me, love me, watch my word, I will make our abode with you, come in you, and now you are heirs. Bless the Lord. And the Bible says, co-heirs with Christ. That's just beyond our imagination. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, no longer slaves. And so often we can live like slaves. The devil wants to live, let us live like slaves to our old nature, slaves to sin, slaves to things that happened in the past we're holding on to. He loves that. He loves that. But as we read right at the end, a couple of verses in, no, when the Spirit of God is there's liberty. Hallelujah. Sins forgiven. The ability to live for him, the ability to take God's word and apply it and live it out. Now, is it always easy? Of course not. But he gives us the power, doesn't he? Gives us the power to do that. But first thing, he's invested in us. So if he's invested in us, then he's looking for a return, isn't he? He's looking for a return. He wants to see what is going to happen in our lives because we are his. We're his children. And he's given us all the promises, the power, the provision, the protection. This is one verse we can throw out again, just remind us that about life, and we'll just go through the others. This is Romans 5:17. Good one to put to memory, this one. Romans 5:17.
Well, if by one man's offence death reigns through the one, much more those who received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So there's Adam, death, reign, come through. But those who receive abundant grace, hallelujah, gift of righteousness, will reign in life through Christ. Now, that's not guaranteeing any, you know, of course, some will extrapolate that and say there'll be no difficulty, no problems, no issues. That's not what it says. No, but it does say we will reign over them. They won't be on top of us. That's the difference, isn't it? And that's the power of the gospel. Now there's times we think, glory be, the burdens and issues come from all around, don't they? From all directions. Sometimes they all come. And that's how that we have all of those days. But the Bible is very, very, listen, stop back, step back. Who are we? Who are you? Who are you? And the abundant grace, the gift of righteousness, in Christ I am. Or remember, we talked about Habakkuk on Sunday. Yeah. I will walk upon my high hills. There will be hills, there will be mountains. Yeah, but I will walk on them. Why? Because he said, the Lord is my strength. I put my everything, Lord, even if everything's gone. He says, if there's nothing in the sheds, if there's nothing in the fields, I'll still trust you. Oh, and that's the bottom line. Why? Because he's God. And even if we go through life with difficulties right to the end, what does the Bible say? Momentary troubles. And in heaven, eternity, we'll think, well, I mourned a lot about that nonsense, and it was nothing. I mourned about it, and it was just a flicker, wasn't it? And in fact, it's strange, you know, the older we get, and we look back and we think, why, that caused me some trouble. Mm-hmm. And you look back and think, I don't know why. And some of the things you worried about, you can't even remember what you worried about, and why you were worrying. But we can reign in life. So God's investment in us. But, of course, what is he looking from us? What is he wanting from us? Well, the first is, of course, we know we are behaving like him. We are following him. We've read this last few weeks. Ephesians 5. We'll read it again. Ephesians 5.
Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also delivered us, and have given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, for a sweet smiling Saviour. But fornication, uncleanness, or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, so becoming the saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers of them.
So very clear, this is what he's looking for in our lives, because obviously in Ephesians, first three chapters, belief, this is what we believe in the culture. Very pagan, very multicultural, if you like. A lot of immorality. Idols come in different shapes and sizes these days, but it was out in the open. They could see it. It was temples in Ephesus. But this is how I want you to follow the Lord. So this is, you know, this is not change, dramatic change. And he outlines, he says, if you live like this, you have no inheritance in the kingdom. Number of those things in the flesh. Going back to Romans, what does he say? If you live according to the flesh, you cannot please God. He cannot please him. So he's looking for those who are following, behaving. Why? Because we belong to him. We belong to him. And when we belong to him, there's got to be a change. It has to be a dramatic change. And if there's no change, then we've got to again. Thankfully, the Lord says, examine yourself, look at yourself. And look at each other and say, wait a minute, Dave, come on. Well, you know, you've been doing that for 30 years. Come on, shake it off. Time to change. Who we are, who we belong to, changes behavior. Again, verses we know, good to put them to memory as well. 1 Peter 2, 9 to 12.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now a people of God, who have not ordained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Behold, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation.
Who are we? Chosen people, royal priesthood, peculiar people, that means his own people, special people, people that are unique and special to him, they're called in. And he said, now because you're that, this is what you do. You live as pilgrims in this world. Do not give in to the flesh, that's the flesh. You feed them and they will war against your soul. Mm-hmm. And we know that personally, don't we? We all know that. If we feed something, it will get stronger and it will run over us sometimes. Don't give the devil a foothold, he says. And so he said, no, this is who you are. This is how you live. This is how you live. And he goes on to a number of other things if you read on that chapter. How to live in family, how to live in the nation, honor the king, fear God, honor the king, and all those things. Practical behavior. Why? Because of who we are. And that's where we have been changed. We have been changed by him. When we're saved, he comes in and he gives us the ability to live like him, behave like him, become like him. He gives us his mind. Our thinking begins to change. Here's Philippians 2.
Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in loneliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Yes, which is the key to it all, really. Because he runs through a list of things which you think, oh, I don't know about that. Esteem others before yourself. Think about others' needs before yours. I'm thinking, wait a minute now. You know, all those things are alien to our flesh, aren't they? Now, I'll help you, but as long as it doesn't take me out of my, you know, disturb me or cost me or, you know, it stops me getting what I want. And the Bible says, no. Others, lift them up. But of course, then he underlines it, verse 5, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. It's a change of how we think. Has to be. But he gives it us. If you go back to 1 Corinthians 2, you're talking about a spiritual man making spiritual discernment. In the flesh, we can't do it. We can't. But because we have God's wisdom, God's understanding, we can. The spiritual man makes judgment on all things. Then he sums up that chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 2. But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. So God enables us to think like him, to see like him. But again, although he plants it into our hearts, there's a process of allowing that to take effect and making sure that it's not warped and distorted by our flesh because we can easily do that, or by the world around us, because it's always impinging, always feeding, always. And of course, then again, that we have to be careful what we ingest in, don't we? Eye gate. As we said the other day, that old Sunday school song we used to sing, didn't it? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear, isn't it? And what you do then, hands and feet and all those things. Be careful, little tongue, what you say. Very important what we ingest, because although we have the mind of Christ, again, he underlines this in Romans 12, 1 to 2.
I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Again, there's the act, isn't it? The act is when we understand the gospel, we will surrender to him. Why? Because why would we not? Because he died for us, he loves us, he said that's the reasonable response, or your spiritual response, and that's your worship, that's your surrender, your act of worship. And that pleases the Lord, loves that. And again, we wouldn't do any other way. But then that's just a singular act, isn't it, of surrender to him. Then he goes, now do not be conformed. It used to be J.B. Phillips. Do not be squeezed by this world, he said. I like that. Don't be squeezed, fashioned or shaped into a thing like it. Outward appearance. Don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's a process going on there that we have to allow the Holy Spirit to continually renew the mind. And that's transformation. Transformation, word we get. Metamorphosis, we understand that word because we understand that a caterpillar goes to a butterfly, and that's what they call metamorphosis. We've looked at that many times before, but to get to a caterpillar to a butterfly, that caterpillar has to consume, eat and eat and eat to have enough power and energy to form a cocoon, and then break out. And of course, he doesn't just break out, does he? He has to squeeze, it's painful, it's difficult, but then he comes out beautiful. And it's lots of imagery there. We have to consume the Word of God. We consume the Word of God that will transform us, will metamorphosize our lives. It does, because as we consume, we are changing. And then, of course, it's difficult. The process is difficult because of... Again, we go back to that course we did, didn't it? Of the hard drive and the soft drive. We've got to change the programming in our hearts. This is how we were brought up. Sometimes it was very good. Sometimes it probably wasn't as the Lord wanted, depending on how we were brought up. And that's got to be changed because we've learned that. And that's ingrained in us, isn't it? Those, they say, a psychologist tells us, those early years are so ingrained in us of how we thought about things, how we were treated, and all those multitude of things, and that sometimes takes difficult and long period, painful period, but that butterfly doesn't come out just one day. He has to squeeze out of there, all the juices from his body goes into the wings, and you stop that process. We looked at that before, we said, he had pity, didn't he? And he cut the cocoon, and that moth or the emperor moth or whatever they came out all limp. And deformed. Why? Because he didn't go through the process. The process was he had to squeeze himself out of the little gap to squeeze into that beautiful shape. And painful it is, but transformation, continual, that is a continual process. The tense there is continual. Why? Because the world's always feeding us with lies, always feeding us with nonsense, always feeding. And of course, we get easy distracted. And we look at that and think, oh, that looks good. Isn't it? Because it feeds the flesh. The flesh loves it, doesn't it? Oh, look at that. Yes. Yeah. I need a new car. Yeah. Oh, look at that car. Look at that. And we're there, aren't we? And we're looking at cars we can't afford or cars that are impractical and all those kind of things. And easily done, isn't it? Transform. Lord, you know, guide me, direct me, and be like him, see like him, think like him. Hallelujah. It's a process. So we can be who he is. And again, manifesto, Matthew 5, Kingdom Manifesto 5-6-7, Matthew 5, this is 13 to 16.
You are not the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavour, How shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
Of course, again, remember the continuance, the context, comes after those nine Beatitudes. We looked at the nine Beatitudes on Sunday morning, didn't we? Of the process of understanding who we are in Him, how much we need Him. Poor in spirit starts, comes right up through the blessing of God. And then He says, look, when you are like this, when you are like Me, you will be salt and light. Salt and light are effective because of its presence in the situation, isn't it? And of course, it points again, always pointing to Him, isn't it? Always pointing to Him. And we are salt and light, and all those wonderful things that salt brings. Again, we looked at that before, fertilizing, preserving, disinfecting, bringing flavor, making things palatable. All those wonderful things that salt brings, and we are the salt of the world. And of course, that's why when we are taken, dear me, things will go pear-shaped there. Because we are light, and we are salt. And light, what light does, we know, exposes, brings transparency, exposes the darkness, and brings light and beauty and all those kind of things. And we are that. We are, and that's why, because of who we are. Not because we are, because we are His. We belong to Him, therefore we can become Him and behave like Him. We've read these verses again last few weeks, but again, remind us who we are, why we're doing this, what God is looking for us in our lives. John 15, and just those two verses, 15 and 8 and 15.
16.
16, sorry, just testing you.
By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask in the Father, ask the Father in my name, He may give you.
God is God looking for fruit, isn't He? And He's designed us to become more like Him, behave like Him, become like Him, and He's looking for fruit. That's why we abide in Him. That's why we allow Him to have His work, pruning, cutting away, or throwing stuff out of our lives. Why? Because He's looking for fruit. Fruit that will last. That fruit shows that we are disciples, isn't it? If you're looking at your life and thinking, dear, good to ask someone else sometimes as well, isn't it? Careful who you ask. But your husband and your wife are pretty good at telling you and being honest with you. am I more like, you know, am I more patient than I was when we first got married? Yes. much more patient. Much more patient. What do you say? I've been beaten into submission. No, careful. No. And that's why it's good to be in fellowship, isn't it? Good in fellowship, because we can say to someone, look, and we can see people advancing in the Lord. We can see fruit, can't we? That's wonderful. And sometimes we're a bit reticent, don't we? I'm not a great encourager, but we can see people growing in the Lord, and we should tell them that. And then we can see people drifting, and we say, well, careful now. You know, what's happening? And that's what fellowship is. We have body with a body, and the Lord's investing in us. He's looking for fruit, and fruit that will last, will glorify Him. Again, we all that we are, nothing to do with us, is it? Left to our own devices, dear me, where will we be tonight? But pointing to Him, showing Him. Bless the Lord. But the Lord is looking for that salt, light, the mind of Christ, following from and becoming more like Him. The word we understand, we know the word. Big word they use, sanctification. Becoming more holy. More like Him. Separate from sin, separate from the world, more like Jesus. And that's what He's looking for, and that's what He's working in us. Hebrews 12, 7 to 17.
Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children, not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and to defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who, for a single meal, sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears.
Lots of things there. Without holiness, you can't see the Lord. Holiness is such a key, isn't it? Why? Because he's holy. Again, we're reminded, holy, holy, holy. And his work is to get us holy. It's just his fault there, sorry. Remember this we've used this quote before. I don't know where it came from. I got it from many years ago. The Lord is more interested in our ultimate eternal holiness than our temporal current happiness. Although, as I was reading the other day, someone said, come. In harmony there. True holiness brings true happiness, real happiness, isn't it? Because when we talk about happiness, we are talking about feeling lovely and woo, 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 woo. But God's not interested in that. Blessing of God, the joy of the Lord. Now, there, some days we feel wonderful, but happiness is the blessing of God. But it, ultimately, holiness, he's looking to change us. Sometimes that's painful because he says, look, hardship, what is he doing? So the first thing we do is when difficulties come, Lord, okay, let's just settle down here a minute. Now, Lord, have I brought this on myself? Because that's the first thing we've always got to ask, because we do some stupid things, we make bad decisions. Yeah, and the first thing, Lord, is this of my own making? If it is, forgive me, square it up. But Lord, otherwise, what are you trying to do? What are you trying to teach me? If it's a particular person, obviously he's trying to teach you patience or love or kindness or all those kind of things. And he'll always do that because that's how he uses, isn't it? And we've called those people again before sandpaper people, haven't we? They sand those edges off us. Lord does that, of course. If everyone was like us, what do you say? The world would be a better place. Yes. But no, they're not, are they? And there's some people, oh, dear. And the Lord does that. Again, why? Because he's disciplining us. He'll throw difficulties in. He'll throw a spanner in the works just so we'll learn of him. Lean on him. Paul, we talked about the other day. Lord, I've had enough. Paul, you just keep going. My grace is sufficient. Receive of me. The more you need, the more you will receive of the Lord. The more you'll put yourself in the way of the Lord. And the more he's showing you that you need him. 2 Corinthians 3:16-18.
But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit.
Holy Spirit again, his work again, freedom, liberty, not bound, not restrained, but free to live him, transformed from glory to glory. Now, again, that word transform, metamorphosis, is not found many times in the New Testament. Same word as in Romans 12. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here we are, transformed from glory to glory. How? Who? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is at his work. That's why we're listening to him. We are led of him. We are allowing him to point out those things in our life and say, look, you have your way, Lord. Oh, that's why we don't resist him. grieve him. That's, we don't do that, because he's there changing us from glory to glory. What a beautiful picture. Enabling us to be like Jesus. We'll finish off with the two prayers that Paul prayed. We prayed many, many prayers, Paul. Praying over the church. This is what I want of you. This is what God wants of you. And this is what I'm praying over you. First one's Colossians 1.
For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and the desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of the will of all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful into every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to the glorious power and to the patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet for the partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins.
Yeah, again, just wonderful, wonderful prayer. Who we are in him. We're redeemed out of darkness into light. There's a transformation, there's a translation. But he said, I'm praying that you'll be filled with more knowledge about this. You'll understand this. So, in again, when we understand who we are, when we understand who he is, we are filled, we are walking worthy, we are pleasing him, we are bearing fruit, hallelujah, and we are filled. We're filled more and more and more. That's his prayer. And our last prayer from Philippians 1. Philippians 1.
And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offence to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God.
Yeah, increase your love, increase more and more and more. So your discernment will increase. That's interesting, eh? Linking love with discernment there. And out of that, your discernment comes sincerity, purity, that which is genuine and judged by the light, sunlight, blameless, without offence, without stumbling. And that's good, because there's things in our lives that causes us to stumble. We said, look, when I'm praying for you, you'll grow more in him, you'll understand, you'll grow more in his love. There's love flowing through you. Discernment will grow. So there's nothing in causing you to stumble. And filled with righteousness. What for? For his glory. What does God want from us? Well, of course, he wants us to believe in him. Hallelujah. To as many as received, many as believe, we become children of God. We belong to him. Then we behave like him. And we become like him. We are his temple. We are his hands and feet. We are his representatives. And oh, help us, Lord, day by day by day, to bear fruit for him, show him, share him. Not always speak of him. Some of us need to speak more, yes. Some of us need to speak less, don't we? And just show Jesus. Show Jesus to people. Ultimately, we have a world, don't we, that needs Jesus. Help us, help us, help us, Lord. As he returns to do our, make sure that we are fulfilled. All those good works he's prepared in advance for us to do, as he promised. Bless the Lord.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. To find out more about our church, including our service times, visit www.oakdalechristiancentre.org.